Good evening, Patriots. Well, as you know, we're going to start the night, as we do almost every night, with a reminder of Bard's Fest. And Bard's Fest is on August 26th to August 29th. It's in St. Charles, Missouri. There's two locations, indoor, outdoor. Outdoor locations 3 miles away. Tickets are going to go on sale in about 10 days. It's going to be great. We want everybody there. And part of that, we're going to have a slipper revolution on Friday, the 27th of August, when Mike Lindell is there. We're going to have great speakers. We're going to have that. It's just going to be a great week. The five doctors are going to be there talking. We're going to have pastors there. Pastor Greg Locke is going to be there. Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor Travis Graham, Pastor Casper McLeod. We've got great people. They're just lining up, and it's fantastic. And on Friday, we're going to celebrate the slipper revolution. So make sure and get your pair of my slippers. You got to have those for a slipper revolution. And you can get a MyPillow if you want to. Use the Bards code B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, and go to MyPillow.com and use that promo code and help support one of America's best CEOs, who loves Christ and is fighting for the nation. And also, just so I remind everybody, that company has already contributed over $20,000 to Bard's Fest. They're just amazing. So anyway, hit it hard over there. Want to see everybody we can at Bard's Fest. It's going to be amazing. And all those details are going to start really shaking out over the next couple of weeks. And you're going to be like, oh, that's amazing. And be like, yep. That's God working right there. God's going to be bringing it in a big way. Shofar blowers at the beginning, shofar blowers all around the world. It's going to be amazing. So let's get geared up, Patriots. There you go. I'm going to begin tonight. This has to be one of my favorite passages. And for so many reasons. And it's Mark 1:35 to 38. And it reads like this: "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.'" I absolutely love this passage, and I've read it before, and it's literally one of my favorite passages, and I'm going to explain to you why. If there was one thing that Christ did, he was always about moving and sharing the word. He never let himself stay where he could be idol worshipped. And it's a big deal. I mean, this is huge, because right here, they're wondering where he is. Where's teacher? Where's the master? And he's like, "You all got what you needed. I'm moving on." And that's the whole part right there. He gave them what they needed. They didn't need him. They needed what he gave them, which is so fantastic, which is Christ in the heart. And in doing that, he's able to continue his mission. The problem with where we are in society, and we've been there way too long, is there's this tendency always towards idol worship. And I'll be honest, I don't totally get it, but I try, and it's just me. But there's a strong compulsion for people to want to cling on to somebody rather than cling on to the most powerful thing you have, which is Christ in the heart. And once we do that and we detach from everything, I mean, literally, God provides everything. He provides knowledge. He provides wealth. He provides whatever we need is coming through God. And we become nobody. We just become a vessel for God, which is a beautiful place. It's a walking as in unison with God. And as we accept Christ in our heart, of course, we're remade in his within with Christ within us, and we leave our old self behind. But this passage to me always strikes me as just so profound, because it is a place where it's so easy for him to get up and say, "Okay, I'll be right there." I mean, that would be a normal human reaction. "I'll be right there. Tell him, let's head on up there and let's address him." And instead, he doesn't even go back to say goodbye. Let's move on. We got more work to do. They have what they need. That takes a lot of strength. And it's not a disconnected view, because we know that Christ has amazing compassion. But he's not getting hooked into the things of the human world. And he just keeps moving. And you know the people are, we don't hear this story, but you can imagine, let's just say it that way, you can imagine people going, "Okay, where is he? Where is he?" And wanting to go to the next village and follow him and follow him. But what they've missed is that he gave them everything they need, everything, in that one sitting, in that one experience. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 17. This is an absolutely great passage. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 17. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." Wow. Those words are on fire at the end of that. "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." So now let's think about these two passages together. and it's these two phrases. And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach also, for that is why I came out. And for we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." It presents an amazing image of a standard for us to live by. It's an image of unbelievable humility, and it's an image of unbelievable resolve. It's a standard to reach to in everything we do. Not to get hooked on, you know, and we all do it. I mean, I will say this. There's this point where when we start talking, some point along the way in our life, we've gotten hooked on where we like to hear ourselves more than we like to hear others. And with this, there's this humility of the walk with God, the recognition that we're not peddling the words of God. We're speaking of as sincerity, as commissioned by God. What a big difference. So when we hear that, and what's very important about that perspective is it doesn't mean that one might quote scripture. So this is important. Christ is moving on to the next village in Mark 1:38. He has given them one engagement. They have all they need, but we know that doesn't necessarily mean that they have mastered any of the quotes that he's given or the references to whatever scriptural text he was referring to. But he's given them all they need. And if they embrace that as men of sincerity, then they are commissioned by God. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ, which means you're speaking with truth in the heart. So powerful. It's a wonderful consideration because it's speaking very deeply that we have all we need within us if we simply accept it. And in accepting that, we don't have to be masters of Scripture. Scripture enlightens and it gives us wisdom. It gives us great insight. But as we lean into that place of relying on a true and pure heart and a heart through God, the words that we need are commissioned by God himself. And even though the words may not be scriptural, they nonetheless carry the power of God as we walk in the integrity and sincerity of God. I don't think this has ever been more important than right now. We are heading into this era where as things begin to continue, I should say, falling apart, and they are continuing to fall apart, there is going to be an enormous amount of searching, an enormous amount of clinging on. And if you haven't noticed it yet, you will. Because as you engage people and you provide them with that comfort, that solace, that understanding of how they can move from there to God, from where they are to the path of Christ, and if you're providing them with that gentle walk and those crumbs that lead there, there is a tendency to want to hang on to you because you become the shepherd, but you also become their lifeline. And what's important is that we don't become the lifeline. The shepherd guides. The shepherd keeps the flock together. The shepherd looks out for the strays and brings them in. In fact, the shepherd will leave the flock to go get the stray because he knows that the flock will stay together. And when there's a stray, he'll go out and search for that stray to bring it home. And that's the powerful part of being a shepherd. But you're not becoming the herd or the flock. We have to be able to offer that comfort without ego. We have to be able to offer that comfort with a purity of walking God that is purely there for our purposes of communicating God's word. And that begins with a simple understanding of how God provides everything. And when we acknowledge that and we move our world to a place where we acknowledge that everything comes from God, we begin to step into that place of being men of sincerity commissioned by God. Chris Pratt is a movie star. The only one that I know of that has ever stood on stage and given God credit for his success. Openly stated, he is there and successful because of God and Jesus Christ. It is a powerful place, and it's a beautiful place when you dedicate that success that way. Because everything that we accomplish is ultimately through him. Today, we accomplished a huge goal today. 12 million downloads today on this site. 12 million. Beyond anything I would have imagined. And that's not me. It's a wonderful group of patriots out here, and it's the blessing of God that's made that happen. Those are those little traps that this order throws in front of us, is to try to get us snared in the idea that it is us. We are messengers. We are vehicles. We are vessels that God uses. But as we speak with sincerity, as men of sincerity and ambassadors of God, it is because we're commissioned by God to do that. And we must never forget that place. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. What a beautiful concept, that knowledge itself is like a fragrance. One sweet and unable to bring us all together and to listen and to hear. And that's the place as we move forward here that's going to be increasingly important. I think every single one of us would like to have this whole process end with some sort of like movie surprise. To literally find out that, oh, everything you're doing is all better now because it was all special effects and it was this or that. To a certain degree, some of that I think will happen. Because, you know, we know that some of this nonsense we're witnessing are actors with masks and a variety of other things. But you're not going to fake the damage that's being done with an injection. You're not going to fake the deaths that are happening because of an injection. You're not going to fake the lives that have been lost because they spoke the truth and blew the whistle on things. And those are the heavy parts of the walk that we're all in that you can't mask away and you can't or obscure or just excuse away. And that's where we have to get to that place of reality. We want to paint the picture of the happy ending, the Cinderella story. We want to believe that somehow this can't all be what we think it is. And I think in that story that we're trying to write, we're forgetting something very important. We're forgetting our role. We're forgetting our connection with God and exactly what we're capable of doing. We're trying to understand the story instead of realizing that we're writing the story. And we're writing the story by what's in our heart. We have all we need. We have all we need to know because it's been given to us. We've accepted Christ in our heart, and in so doing, all knowledge that we need is there. You know, we keep trying to beat a hole through a wall, for example, with a hammer. And we're using this sledgehammer, and we keep pounding on this wall and pounding on this wall to try to get out. And we forgot to just turn the doorknob to realize that the door was unlocked the whole time. All we had to do was walk through. I actually have a great clip of this in my film footage of this, something very similar to this in Afghanistan. And it makes me laugh every time I see it. So I was with a team of guys and we came up on a kalat, which is basically a compound where people live. A kalat has big mud walls around it, and there's a living quarters inside. And they typically have steel gates, which are functioning as the outer door. So it's kind of a gate door, and it's got usually a pretty simple lock system. But the way they're built, they're amazingly durable and hard to get into. So the guys came in, and they call up the shotgun guy, and he comes running up to the front. And, I mean, he blows the heck out of the door, blows the hinges, and nothing happens. And I think he shoots, like, as I recall, it's like four charges into the door, and nothing happens. And pretty soon the platoon sergeant walks up and literally grabs the doorknob and turns it, and the door swings open. It was epic, right? But that's so much the way that we too often live. And right now we're doing a lot of that. We have to face the reality that there's going to be potentially some very difficult times ahead. And then we have to decide in our prayers, in our heart, what we really want for this. First, we accept the reality. Second, we let God know where we want to go. And I think when we put our prayers there to let God know that we want to heal this world, that we want to pray for the forgiveness needed to heal this world and to heal this world, and show that we are truly selfless in this place of those that have taken the injection and those that face a terminal walk, I think that we can make an incredible impact on things. I said this in a previous show, that it was, if we get to a place where people say to me, you were a fearmonger, nothing happened, everyone was healed, there was never anything that happened at all, I would say, okay, and I would smile, because I would know something did happen. And I think we all know that would be, that was God. And God would have made it happen. And it'll make us all look silly. And God will laugh, because he's like, yeah, whatever. My children did their job. You all haven't figured it out yet. But at least we're all back home together. And that's pretty much how this works. Because in that place, we would be functioning as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, not peddlers of God's word. And we would be moving on to the next village, not worried about the recognition of the place we were at, but worrying about getting the message out there. And as we work those two together and keep that path before us, we can transform this world. I'm telling you, I would crack up. I really would. I'd be like, oh, I was wrong. Yeah, right, whatever. I'd be smiling the whole way. It's like, the world is better now. Because there's only one way this is going to get right. There's only one, and we know it. Statistically, we can't move. If we came up with a cure today, with all the research, if someone comes up, and there's a lot of amazing stuff coming out. There's frequency generators, and there's all sorts of very cool fringe and emerging ideas to heal the body, not to use Western medicine methods. And all these things are possible, but there's no possible way in the way that humans function, leaving it at that level, to move those cures to over 1 billion people that took this damn injection. They made a bad decision, a very poor decision. And we, as a remnant, are left seeing it with clear eyes. And we can see very clearly that this is very bad as they go around and celebrate their victory and forget to thank God for anything. We're out here praying like crazy, going, please, Lord, help us, forgive us for what we have done and help this nation heal. And we're not going to get extra bonus points for that. God's not going to give you a pat on the back. God's not going to give you an extra scoop of ice cream. God's not going to write your name on the headlines somewhere to say, look what these guys did. Why is that? Because we did exactly as we should. And that's enough. Because we already have won the lottery We've won the lottery through Christ in our heart. And that was won a long time ago. All we had to do was accept it. And in that next place of walking, we kept walking to the next village. We didn't stay around to sign the autographs. We moved on to the next village to keep moving and sharing the message. And we didn't peddle God's word by being a literalist or a massive study in Scripture. It's not that you shouldn't know Scripture, but we relied more importantly on what God has put in our heart as being commissioned by God. And when we do that, our words flow. They open hearts. They awaken those in the darkness. And in the process, people are led to Scripture. They're led to the relationship with Christ. They're led to an awareness and understanding of God. And right there is the most amazing gift of all. You can't get higher than that to save a soul. And maybe not everyone will be, but to have the opportunity to see somebody walk from one place to the other and to let them take that walk by their own free will, thanks to some gracious words that you've shared, man, what greater reward do we need? It's a beautiful walk. And it's what we are commissioned to do. For we have been commissioned by God, for we are here now in this time. And if we will keep that in our heart for all things that we do, and if we will walk that way in everything that we do, wow, the rewards are limitless. And it's unbelievably fulfilling. When I first got introduced to covert operations, someone told me once, he said, if you're really good, you'll change a country, you might even change the world, and no one will know except you and maybe a couple other buddies of yours. It'll sit in its quiet room, you'll crack a bottle of whiskey, you'll pour each other a shot, in silence, you'll take a sip, and you'll each leave the room. I always stuck with me because it's a powerful statement. And I love that place. And this is really where we, as the remnant, need to find our strength. There's going to be a lot of noise, a lot of finger pointing, no matter what happens. There's going to be a lot of people grabbing to try to grab a credit for this or that, no matter what happens. But this is what each of us needs to hold in our heart. So God has us here for a reason. And it's this powerful remnant that's working every day. It's the engagement of the neighbor. It's the engagement of the person at the grocery store. It's whatever engagement you have. It's a standing up to the school board. It's leading a fight in whatever capacity. But it's knowing that no matter where we are, no matter how far we go, once it's over, we can vanish. The world can stand up again. And we can sit quietly on the side, praying to God in thanks, and know that the only one that needs to see us is God Himself. That's it. It's a beautiful place. We have before us an opportunity that few in this history of man have. And that's an opportunity to literally transform the world and help it reset back to the footing of God, back to the very feet of God. And in so doing, know that it can be done. And the reward any reward given has already been given to us because it was everlasting life. It's simply the joy of knowing that God's children are being brought home. So let us not be peddlers of God's word. Let us be the men of sincerity. Commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And let those words flow like water. Let us not hang around, for the recognition, but let us move forward to the next town so that we can preach and do what we came out to do. We are patriots. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. We are believers in Christ. And in Christ Jesus, within us, we walk. And we walk proudly, we walk humbly, but we carry the weight, we carry the power within us to transform lives and to awaken those asleep to the glory of the relationship to God through Christ. I can't think of a more noble walk to take. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we sit here this evening and reflect very deeply on the gifts that you give and the blessings that you provide, no greater blessing is to serve you with humility and namelessness, to simply walk this path, to be truly the commissioned by you to speak your word, and in so doing, speaking in Christ, to bring to this world the healing and the strength needed to overcome any evil and any malady set before us. Lord, let us face truth, let us accept truth, and then let us not let the truth weigh us down. We pray this evening, Lord, for the healing of this nation. We humbly place ourselves before you, praying for the forgiveness of all that has been done and all that has passed, the wars, the destruction of children, the destruction of families, the destruction of elderly, the destruction of the environment. And we pray for healing. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for the many who have taken the shot, a decision poorly chosen, some intentionally in defiance, others not knowing what they were doing. We also acknowledge, Lord, that we are all accountable for our actions, but that is a judgment left to you to decide, not us. So, Lord, hear our hearts as we all struggle with these moments. We struggle with frustrations, sometimes with anger, sometimes with disgust, sometimes with pain, but hear our hearts. And we pray that you can help us lift off those burdens, to pray for the healing with the sincerity of love that lifts us and guides us, the love that is deep within us all, that we can pray for the healing of this world, that no weapon forged against us will succeed. Let this bioweapon fail, Lord. Let them celebrate their healthiness, as we know very well that it will only come through the prayers of the dedicated, the prayers of the remnant. We say this humbly. We say this with smiles, Lord, knowing that you can change this world. But we also know the importance, the necessity of us to let go of the burdens of anger and frustration and all those maladies of thought that leave no room for the power of agape love. We know that the blood of Christ and the healing power of Jesus Christ himself can heal anything. Let us embrace fully what that means within our heart. Let us accept that gift. And let us stand together and let us transform this world away from the darkness in which it's headed and steer it to light and let forgiveness reign. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Not an easy place. And I'm number one to tell you, patriots. I get so frustrated with stupid, I can't even tell you. And I do. I'm human, and I accept that. We're all human. And It's hard to look around and watch just arrogance lead and ignorance, willful ignorance lead and stubbornness lead. Rejection of God, it hurts us and we know it because there's no reason for it. But I also know that we have a greater role to walk here than just praising ourselves and patting ourselves on the back for not taking the injection. We are that front line of the Lord's army and the most important part of this walk is for us to help bring the many home. Let's do that. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. We have the power to change this through prayer and supplication. Let's keep our prayers focused on that. God is listening. God is with us. Praise be to God Almighty and Christ for all they bring to us. And in the end, we know that God wins. But let's make this victory be won with the many, not just the few. Have a very blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights spent pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now. the tides, out on the freeway, let it ease my mind. We run away sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. We always come back to what we know. Keep it close on the cold days, darling. Counting all the ways where you are a safe place to hide from the rain.